Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Fat mascara time. We're back.
I love how we always say we're back. Like we didn't go anywhere. We're still here. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
We've been having a weird week, guys. Just going to just prepare you before we get into this episode.
It's those dog days of summer.
Is that what it is? Is it August? Something's up right now. Like Venus is sideways or somebody.
I don't know if it's astrology or just like crazy.
If you hear weirdness in our vibes, that's what's going on.
You feeling it? The listeners feeling it?
They're going to be feeling it soon. So we still have an awesome guest and an awesome episode, and we're going to like power through with the dog days of summer.
Okay.
What are we going to talk about, my dear?
We're going to talk about some wild and crazy comments coming from some beauty spokespeople.
Oh, when spokespeople go rogue.
Yes. I like it. I like it. Then we're going to talk about eye cream. Do you need one?
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, we're going to talk about what's in your shower. What kind of funky.
We warned you. It's going to be weird. Bear with us. I think what Jess meant to say was, what's growing in your shower?
I seriously was like going to start like rapping like funky cold Medina, like what kind of like sponges and stuff are growing
in your
shower.
We're going to talk about bacteria and loofahs.
Yeah, so basically that's it, what Jen said. So who's on the pod today?
Fashion stylist extraordinaire Linda Rodin turned beauty entrepreneur. She makes that Olio Luso that everybody's obsessed with. So we're going to get some fashion and beauty advice from our guest this week.
Sounds like a really pulled together episode. Let's start. Jen, you know what I think the measure of success is?
Tell me.
When you're able to just say what you want and like not worry about it.
Oh, yes. And if we're talking money, excuse my language, F you money. When you're so rich, it's like, F you, I could do whatever I want.
Yeah,
I got
when you're
money.
No longer walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Whether, you know.
Oh, I want that kind of success. Who has it?
think Helen Mirren has it. Because sometimes you ever go to like an event or something and you see someone on their very best behavior and you know they're just like, they're just terrified.
A celebrity, you mean?
And it could be a colleague. It could be a colleague or it could be a celebrity. Maybe a celebrity who is paid by the brand. They just were like newly minted as the spokesperson.
Yeah.
Well, Helen Mirren has certainly, you know, had a lot of different people, you know, signing her paychecks over the years. And she is also the face of skincare brand L'Oreal.
Yes.
Well, L'Oreal is also, you know, does more than skincare, but she was the face of their skincare line. And maybe you guys have heard. So Helen Mirren was doing an interview and she said, "I'm an internal optimist. I know that when I put on my moisturizer, it probably does fuck all, but it just makes me feel better."
No.
Yes. Now, she's L'Oreal's oldest, most mature celebrity face. She's been the face of L'Oreal Paris's Age Perfect since 2014. And she said, "I've always said to L'Oreal that I will only do what makes me feel better." She said, "I'm not setting standards for others. All I can do is be who I am. I've always loved makeup." Now, L'Oreal said to Women's Wear Daily last week, they backed her. They said, "We're very proud to have Dame Helen as an ambassador. She's a role model for women of all ages, and we love her authenticity and humor."
Yeah. Oh, and they also try to make it be like, "She's kidding. It does do stuff." No,
I don't know. I don't think that.
They're just
standing by. Yeah, I don't think they.
But I always say that about face creams when people are like, "Does it work?" I'm like, "Do you think it works?" She obviously still enjoys putting the stuff on, but dude, she went rogue.
Yeah, I don't think. Listen, I don't think that she is. I think she's just being kind of funny. Obviously, they do work in some ways. Are they going to make her look like she's 24 again? No. I think she's like, she's a layperson. She's an actress. She's the face.
I like that she was so honest. But haven't you ever, like, they've signed on a celebrity and you know it's going to be problematic? Like, I feel like brands get into bed with a celebrity and you're getting hook, line, and sinker, everything they're about, and it could go wrong for you.
There are certain actresses I don't want to see who don't have the humor, the realism. Like, Helen Mirren doesn't intimidate me. She's like a real person.
Yeah, truly, it would make me like the product more.
It's like she's kind of funny and cool. I don't want to see someone who looks like they are at the dermatologist every Sunday, every Saturday or whatever, getting injected and being like, "Age perfect." It's, you know, like,
that's
fuck you.
Why I look this good.
Yeah.
So, she seems honest. You're right. But what if she, and she still uses it, she basically said. Like, obviously she uses it.
Yeah.
I've been at celebrity events where it's so obvious to me that the person they've signed on does not even use the product or know about the product. Has that ever happened
to you? Oh, yes.
Like,
very recently.
I'm thinking of this example. I was interviewing Megan Fox, and I think at the time she was working with, she might have been like the face of an Avon fragrance, but she's not like an ambassador for Avon. Mm-hmm. It was just like a one-off campaign. So I was interviewing her about fragrances. So you throw the softball question out first, you know, low ball, whatever they say. And so what do you like to smell like? What does your husband like you to smell like? What fragrances do you like? Girl, the answer should be XYZ Avon fragrance that I'm here representing.
Yeah.
She goes, "You know, it's not like I really wear fragrance that much." And then she started talking about Nag Champa incense. And there was something. Oh, Yankee Candles. She loves Yankee Candles. Like, she gets boxes, but didn't really talk about the perfume. And part of it was like, "You go, Megan Fox." But I don't know if the brands would be happy about that.
Yeah. I think signing on a person, like, I can see why people use, like, the Geico Gecko or, you know,
he's not gonna go
Tony the Tiger. Yeah. it's scary. And then they're not. We've seen it with, like, certain celebrities for cosmetics brands. They're with L'Oreal one day, then they're with Revlon. And they say the same story, like, "Oh, this, I've always loved L'Oreal. Then I've always loved Revlon. I've always."
Yeah.
It's
inauthentic.
Yeah. And authenticity is a word that, like, we, like, laugh about a lot now. But, like, it actually does matter. So
I know. I think you're right. Right now, it's cool that they backed her. And it feels very real. If it had happened 5 years ago, I'm not sure. They might have tried to do a different way of, like, dealing with it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely
right.
Times
have changed. I think they handled it well.
Mm-hmm.
And good for her. I freaking love Helen Mirren.
She's so good.
And if only I could look like that in a bikini.
Oh.
Yes. Preach. Yeah. Preach, Helen.
Jen, I heard a rumor about you.
What now?
I heard you don't use eye cream.
Here we go again. You love this. No, I don't use eye cream.
I think it's weird.
Bad beauty editor? What do I need eye cream for?
Those like crow's feet.
Do I have crow's feet?
I have crow's feet, so I'm just like basically looking for...
No,
you don't have crow's feet.
You would tell me if... Okay, let's get back up... First of all,
I just wanted to get I wanted to get your attention.
Okay, you've got it.
Yeah.
Do clearly. I need eye cream? The reason I don't use it, it's not like I don't put anything around my eyes. I just don't use an eye specific cream, but I use my anti-ager all the way up close to my lash lines. Before we talk about eye cream, are my crow's feet not good right now?
No, you're fine. Stop pulling downward on your face. Okay. I think that's the first step.
Okay, do you use eye cream?
Of course. I've been using eye cream since I was like 19.
Why? Why can't you just put your moisturizer?
Well, I do think that eye creams, I know that eye creams are formulated specially for the eye. Any reputable company is formulating their cream to make sure that it is like good for not only safe for the eye area, again, safe for the eye area. Mm. So if you're using something with heavy actives, retinols, should that stuff not be up near your eyeballs.
No, I actually, I have had that problem, and I had a friend who tried a retinol for the first time, and I watched her put, like, it was like a chipmunk, like just rubbed it all over her face, close to her eyes, and she ended up with like two red goggles of eyes because it was retinol. But I don't use anything that would sting my eyes. It's not stinging, so I felt like it's okay to go that close.
Listen, if you have like Teflon eyeballs, that's great. But I have really sensitive eyes. I always have. So I want to use something that I know is ophthalmologically, I think I said that wrong, but you know what I mean, tested safe for the eyes.
So tell me what you use and tell me, do you put it on the lid too?
Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, I know that, like, yeah, if you're using something that is good for anti-aging for the face, I'm sure that it's going to be great around your eyes too. But I'm using mostly brands that are like big brands that are doing all kinds of amazing, like, you know, tests, like clinical tests. I want to know that those bad boys were tested for the crow's feet, were tested for the crepiness. Like, I want something that is targeted. But if you're trying to streamline your products, if you're trying to save money, if you're trying to use fewer products, then you can use your regular anti-aging cream or moisturizer. It is not going to hurt unless it is because you have sensitive eyes and it's migrating into your eye area. So I use right now a super gentle eye cream, which we talked about. It's not from a huge brand. It's called Nudu. They sent it to me. I was like, oh, what's this? It's a very gentle eye cream, fragrance-free. Again, fragrance is a big thing.
But is it an anti-aging also?
This one is very, like, it's not your super aggressive anti-aging eye cream. It's really just, like, I call it a light anti-ager because it doesn't have, like, retinol in it. It's very, like, gentle. So I've been using this. Once I get through this, I might try something else. I'm a beauty editor. I try a lot of different things.
Do you put it on your eyelids also?
I do.
Okay. I actually had something happen this week. I might get on board. So you know how I always have trouble getting my liquid eyeliner to look the same on both eyes?
That's normal.
Okay, but I truly did it perfectly the same, and I looked up into the mirror and I realized on my what's this eye?
Your right eye.
The line was off because there's a fold of skin that's starting to come down over the eyeliner that made it look like it was wavy. And I was like, "Why does it look wavy?" Because it's a piece, it's extra skin. Do you think that if I put an eye cream on the top of my eyelids, I could be lifting that up?
Well, I don't know if you can turn back time and like lift things up. I don't know if you can like pull something up that
with
has fallen.
Cream. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for crow's feet, for sure.
Yeah. I think you can definitely plump. You can definitely help produce collagen. You can definitely hydrate the area. You're not going to get an eye lift in a bottle. You might have a temporary firming effect. Oh, and another thing with some eye creams have some nice light reflective qualities.
Oh, so almost like if I'm not wearing concealer, if I put the eye cream on with a little illumination.
Yes,
which one do you like with some illumination with that I could get on board with?
You know who makes a great one? Olay.
Oh, Olay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Illuminating eye cream?
Yeah, it's like it has like a kind of like a peachy tone to it. So that one's really nice.
Okay.
And I'm like so many. I mean, there are all these
my
things.
My skin isn't peachy toned, but like in that illuminating way that works
with a lot of
skin
tones.
Yeah,
it works with a lot of different skin tones.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I can put these. Is every eye cream, here's one more question because you seem to be better at this than I am, eye cream. Can I put every eye cream 360 around my eyeballs or do I have to?
I sometimes like if something's a little bit more active, I won't put it on the lid.
Because the lid feels really thin. Right?
I know. So if that freaks you out, I get it. Where I like to put it is definitely, and it's funny because I have my sunglasses on my head. I put it in where I call it the sunglass zone.
Oh,
everywhere that's like
yes, beauty editor.
Yes. It feels very Cosmo. Mm-hmm. Put it in your sunglass, like the sunglass zone. So
okay.
Everywhere that your sunglasses, that a big pair of like Jackie O sunglasses would carry,
all
not like
there.
A little, not like little beady like Hollywood director sunglasses.
No, got it. That's
okay.
Actually a really good tip.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome.
So let's take a ride with the breath of tech on the day.
A great question from a listener. How long can you keep that little poof in the shower before it starts getting funk-defined?
The mesh sponges and the loofahs and whatever.
I have to say this is one of my favorite questions ever because I look at the poof in the shower and I'm just like, every time I see it.
Yeah, I'm a bar girl. But I did some research, and even us bar girls are not safe.
I know. Wait, even the bar girls aren't safe?
Get ready.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so microbiologists have tested. In 94, there was a study.
Oh, my God.
Okay, there's loofahs, first of all, the natural sea sponges, right? Mm-hmm. So let's deal with those first. Not as many people use them. The ones that look like beige and crunchy that soften up when they're wet. In this study in 1994, so they just put it in the shower, then they took it out and let it grow. They found positive growth in strains of numerous gram-negative bacteria, Pseudomonas, Ecthomonas, Klebsiella, and gram-positive Enterococcus and B. streptococcus bacteria in a matter of days.
Days.
In a loofah sponge. But that's a natural from the seafloor kind of sponge.
Okay.
The mesh sponges.
Like the ones from CVS?
Yeah. Hate to break it to you. Within 2 weeks, that thing is... You have skin cells coming off of your body. They get wrapped up in the mesh sponge. They're in a warm, moist environment. We're covered in bacteria, good and bad.
I'm going to barf.
I'm not saying you're going to get infected by it. We're not saying there's staph in there or MRSA in there or something like that. And you don't have open wounds on your body.
How do you know?
You know what? You're right. Maybe you do. Maybe you cut yourself shaving and then you got a MRSA sponge. But it grows within 2 weeks. It's got all sorts of stuff over it. So the same study, the 94 study, they were saying if you want – your face is hilarious right now. They said you can microwave it, but that doesn't always kill everything. I feel like that just heats it up and then
like
really – then you got like bad bacteria soup. It's like a worse idea.
Just baking bacteria. Honey, it smells good.
So the people that wrote this study, they said soak it in a solution with 5% bleach. So like, you know, what is that? A gallon to maybe a tablespoon of bleach. Soak it in there for an hour. You're going to kill anything. So I was all proud after I did this research. I was like, see, that's why I don't use a mesh sponge. And then I was like, let me just Google around a little bit and do some research about bar soap. Do you want to know what I found?
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a study in 2006, a dental clinic. They took, you know, when they have that antibacterial like pink bar soap that they use in like a public place, they took the bars that they were using at this dental clinic and they set them aside from the sinks and let them grow to see what happened. And they found it was a continuous source of reinfection for the users. So if somebody
So the idea that soap is self-cleaning is BS?
If by self-cleaning you mean the soap is killing bacteria. If it's not an antibacterial soap, like the soap doesn't, it's still going to grow stuff on the outside. There's still stuff on the outside of the soap.
But what if you just give it a quick like rinsey under the...
Great, you just added some moisture for the bacteria to thrive on. So even this bar soap can also be problematic. And dermatologists quoted left and right, and I even asked once, they said they've never seen people get skin infections or E. coli infections or anything like that from bar soaps when they're using them themselves. But let me tell you, have you ever been in a public bathroom where they have bar soap instead of a liquid?
Oh, yeah, sick.
Hell no. Hell to the no. I'm not picking up a bar soap in a public bathroom. Are you kidding me?
Wait. Okay. So I have a cue.
Oh, I don't know if I have an answer.
I want to get back to the
mesh sponges.
Mesh sponges.
Yeah.
So is the mesh sponge something that you think in, like, if money is no object and we don't care about the environment, I'm not saying that either of those things are true. Should we just be throwing them out every, like, week?
Well, if we don't care about the environment, or, well, if we have money's no object, why do we even need the sponge? Use the sponge, right, to get some foam and to get less product makes more lather, right?
Yeah.
So then just freaking squeeze out a ton of it right into your hand and use that to wash.
Right, right, right.
When I'm, okay, so I've been doing a lot of, like, weekends away, it's summer,
yeah,
and you go into, like, a shower of someone that you don't know, and maybe you forgot your soap, and they'll have their body wash there and their loofah. I'm not picking up another person's.
Well, that's yeah. It's
so
sick.
I just squeeze, and then I feel bad because I probably use a lot more of the liquid body wash than I should. Squeeze it into my palm and do, you know, pits, tits, and lady bits.
I think that's the grossest thing I've heard this whole segment.
I've been waiting for the podcast episode where I got to say that in conversation with you.
Don't ever say that again. My God. Jen.
Anyway, I didn't use the mesh sponge.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, anyway, back to... I actually don't know if I can recover.
Okay. Can we answer our reader question? Yeah. Within 2 weeks, your mesh sponge is green, has bacteria. So, dermatologists recommend... weekly, a bleach solution, or if you're not caring about the environment and
can you throw it? Here's a cue. Can you throw it in the dish in the laundry?
No, it doesn't get hot enough to kill off all the bacteria. Oh my so you're God. Really just warming it up. So you'd need the bleach is the best way to go, but a very mild dose of bleach, the same way you'd be disinfecting, like, okay, you know, dishes or something like that.
It really sounds like the best way to go is pouring some liquid soap in your hand.
Truly, all the research I did, they said. That's what all the doctors and the microbiologists said. If you have bar soap, mesh sponge with shower gel, or just mesh or just shower gel by itself, go shower gel by itself because it's coming right out of the bottle. Nice preservative system that they have in there to keep the soap all clean and friendly. Meanwhile, if you open it, use it within a year because they're not formulated to last longer than that. Also, you're not showering enough if you haven't used up a bottle of shower gel in a year. So there's another one for you. But yeah, liquid soap with no sponge is definitely the safest. For your pits, tits, and lady bits. Sorry.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She pulled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving.
We are here with stylist, model, fashion icon, and beauty entrepreneur. I'm only laughing because I'm looking at your facial expression. Linda Rodin, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
What was that facial expression?
Yeah.
I still blush. It's flattering and wonderful, but aww, a little embarrassing too.
I understand. I really front-loaded all those adjectives.
Yeah.
And
no,
like,
pressure, Linda. No pressure.
Okay.
And I'm sure our listeners know you because of your beauty brand and your beauty oils. But before we get into that good stuff, let's talk about your career in fashion. You started out, I mean, you've been doing this for a while. I don't want to, like, age you, but how long
I'm
have
70.
You been?
It's fine.
Okay, well, go there. It is.
Yeah, no secrets.
You've been a stylist since when? When did you start? How did you get into that world?
1985, maybe.
Okay.
I started at Bendel's when it was really cool as a buyer. I'm skipping a whole decade. In the late 70s, I opened a clothing store, which was the first store in Soho. It was called Linda Hopp.
What was Soho clothes. Like then?
I was the only store there.
Just like tumbleweed in your store?
Yep. I was on West Broadway between Spring and Broom, which is now, I think, across between Anthropologie and Ralph Lauren.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
379 West Broadway. And it was just incredible. It's hard to find a lot about it anywhere. I finally Googled it, and I saw one picture, but I have a huge portfolio. I mean, it was a very successful, you know, kind of shooting star. It kind of went up, and then it just got too hard. But it was very revolutionary, and it, you know, when I think about it now, it was kind of like a precursor to the oils. I mean, many decades later, but it was kind of changed the map.
Yeah.
It's like a concept store, the first concept store in New York.
What kind of stuff did you sell there?
I designed clothes. I sold early Calvin Klein. I sold Todd Oldham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
House of Style. Todd Time.
Patricia Underwood hats, these incredible bags, I don't even remember, wonderful boat neck sweaters. It was just kind of, and I designed the mannequins, and they were very Bauhaus, Oscar Schlemmer kind of mannequins, and my brother was an architect, and he designed the space. It was quite unique, you know, concrete floors before Comme des Garçons, all that. It's quite spectacular, but very short-lived.
I see a theme of Linda getting in on trends before they become big trends.
Yeah, but you don't know you're doing that. You're just kind of thinking, oh, I've got an idea. Let's try that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. Well, I don't. I never saw it as anything except, oh, I'm going to try this.
Yeah. Then you became a stylist for, I mean, editorial and also for fashion houses and all that.
So I just did a lot of editorial, which was, you know, creative and interesting. And then I thought, hold on, I want to make money here. And it's a good segue. So I did a lot of advertising.
What were some of your clients?
I did Revlon for a long time. I did
beauty advertising too.
Yeah. I did Fendi. I did Victoria's Secret. I did tons of stuff.
That's where I met you. We were on a Victoria's Secret.
Oh, really?
Shoot. Yeah. Really? At a chateau in France.
Get out.
It was like a Christmas catalog. I think.
I remember with Adriana Lima and a big
skirt
that went like 15 miles
and
red,
it was
red
like
satin.
It was the hugest skirt I've ever seen.
I didn't
and
think
you,
were
that old? Do I look younger?
That was like a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. And she had a sewing machine set up and they were like
fixed. That was my
tailor.
Like,
in the gardens of the chateau, there was a sewing machine. I remember walking through the woods.
Right.
And there was like, it was almost like a fairy tale. And there was like outdoors, someone on a sewing machine.
Yeah. I had five people on sewing machines.
With yards and yards of like red
satin.
Red satin.
That's so
And
cool.
I was like, am I in a fairy tale right now?
Well, I wasn't. I was in hell. But yeah. And then they had lunch outside.
Yeah.
In this beautiful
And I don't know place. If you remember this. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But you knew I was the beauty editor. And you said, oh, come to the little RV or whatever. They had like a location trailer. And you had like these little like drug baggies of like little teeny Ziplocs with little teeny vials of oil without even a label. I guess you were testing them at that point. I don't know. We'll get into the oils in a bit.
Remember the chronology of
But
of
I remember, the Victoria's Secret, you did a lot with them, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was a highlight for sure.
What was your favorite, shoot? What were some of your favorite shoots to work on?
The one where I was? No, I'm just kidding.
Of course.
you met Jen.
I did, you know, some of them were great, some of them weren't great. I traveled all over the world. I mean, I met interesting people. I went to, incredible places. I mean, that's just one example of a really long career. I think I did it for 35 years or 30 years or something. The one thing that was interesting as a stylist is I would sometimes I was friendly with the makeup artist, and I would look at the makeup table and whatever, and I'd see them using something. I'd say, oh, that looks nice, and I'd run to Ricky's and buy it, and I realized, you know, I'm not Giselle, so whatever she's put on Giselle's cheeks is not going to look the same on me. So it was a few moments where I had to run to buy something, but it kind of never, it was like, oh.
Doesn't work.
I waste my money on that, you know.
Yeah.
But I was
yeah.
never really interested on that side of it.
So then how did your beauty line come about? You started with just one product, right?
Yeah.
Which was that little vial that I saw, I guess.
Trailer.
How did that come about?
I just, it sounds like the most boring story because everybody has the same one. If they kind of create something, they couldn't find what they wanted, or someone makes, a t-shirt with 50 sleeves because they, I think it's all just, necessity is the mother of invention kind of cliche. I just couldn't find what I wanted. And I felt that I had seen so many things. And the few that I tried, I didn't really like. And I was never a beauty junkie at all. I mean, I grew up and we had soap and water and, a washcloth and a towel. We had nothing. So it was never my focus or my interest. I always wore lipstick, but I was not a big makeup person ever. I thought, I'm getting older and there's something I would like to make my skin supple and dewy, and that's, there's no miracles in a jar.
What were you trying that wasn't working for you?
I really wasn't trying much of anything, but I, whatever lotions I would buy or creams or this is, I thought, another one. you know, I never felt, I didn't fall in love.
Right.
So I thought, well, you know, I've always loved oils. I've always loved little potions, and I collected them all over on my travels from, you know, Africa to here to there, whatever. And I just kind of had this collection of little jars, and I thought, well, maybe I'm going to research what the thing is I like in each one. Some of them weren't even labeled, but I could smell or whatever. And I just, you know, would go to health food stores, and there was a great shop on Bleecker Street, which is now closed. I can't even Aphrodisia.
Uh-huh.
So I just started buying all these little oils and mixing them together, thinking, I love this one. This one's great. I had a rash. I had Evening of Primrose for that. I had Arnica for a bruise. You know, I just kind of winnowed it down to what I loved. And, I mean, it sounds crazy, but that was it.
And that signature product, which, what's the name? Because I always say
Rodan Oleoluso.
Oleoluso.
It's jasmine neroli.
And it was a mix of all of these, like...
11 different oils.
11 different mm-hmm. oils that were unlabeled oils from different places. The original one.
The original, yeah. I mean, I didn't really know.
Your kitchen oil.
Well, things I bought in Morocco. I mean, okay. I didn't know what it was, and then I smelled it, and then I had smelled from a health food store something similar, and it was Arnica. And I remember when I was in Morocco, someone said, oh, you have a bruise, try Arnica. Or even in Primrose, I got a rash when I was 15. I mean, I just kind of collected all my interests. I knew jojoba was a carrier oil, and it was useful.
And this was like before oils were everywhere,
right? Yeah,
there
was no oil. I mean, I didn't think it was revolutionary. It's just like, just make something you love, and
yeah,
you know, well, I brought it around.
Yeah, like, you were giving it out to people. Yeah. So what convinced you, okay, maybe I should produce this, like, commercially?
I mean, how many, hold on a second, how many of these were in your house? Did you have, like, five little jars, or did you have, like, a bookcase that you were selling, you know,
oh,
to
I started
pals?
Making them at home, you know, and sometimes I would make 500 bottles in a weekend. But it was a progression, you know, I would just make little ones. I'd bring them to work, you know, to a shoot, and the makeup artist loved it, and the models loved it. And I was happy with a really small home industry.
You'd sell it, like, on the side? I love
no, I
this idea.
I never sold it.
Oh, okay.
I just gave it away.
I
might sell it.
I think I was one of those people. I was like, wait, I didn't
you
pay
know,
for it.
I never
it.
Wanted any money for it. It wasn't, you know, and then, you know, as the story goes, which is true, my nephew came in one day and saw me kind of at this little table. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm making this face oil, and, it, you know, it's really nice. He said, well, what's the formula, and what do you sell it for? He's a real entrepreneurial type.
Yeah, I'm wondering why
I have no idea what the formula is. I wouldn't sell it. You know, I give it to my friends. I don't need to make money. I'm just, it's just fun. Like, you'd bake a cake for your friends at Christmas.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're
yeah.
not going to say, hey, there's a carrot cake. It's $12. I'll
the
bring
raw
it
materials
like,
cost yeah, me, yeah. blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, right, right. So it was really just a very interesting, fun project. And I don't really remember, well, I do. I was making it, and I was, I had a friend who had been a graphics designer, so I thought I should get a little label, and I had found a font at the flea market on a luggage tag, and, you know, one thing led to another, and it became quite, elegant. I bought all the bottles, ready-made, what are they called, in stock mm-hmm. packaging, and, I was with a friend one day, we were having lunch, and she said, I hadn't seen her in years, and she said, well, what are you doing now? Like, what are you up to? I said, well, I'm a stylist, and, you know, whatever. And I said, but I'm making this oil, and, you know, I'd love you to try it. It's really nice. I really think you're going to love it. And she said, do you have a lawyer?
I said, wow.
What do I need a lawyer for? She said, well, I don't know. Maybe this – I said, no, this is my pleasure. I'm just doing it because I love it. And then I realized if I wanted to kind of make more of it, or not even at home or not at home, that there were regulations and, you know, I didn't know anything about
yeah.
That. Just kind of evolved into, okay, you should find out, you know, just what's in it and what's good and what's healthy. If, you know, if I was going to sell it, which I never had, you kind of, and the beauty industry is pretty strict. I had no idea.
Was she a lawyer?
No, she's just an old friend from high school.
Who's looking out for you.
Yeah. She wanted to make sure.
Oh, no, she's not a lawyer. And she, in fact, sent me to this top lawyer who we had gone to high school with. Who I had completely forgotten about.
So basically she wanted to make sure that you weren't going to sell this and someone's arm is going to fall off or bubble.
That's
yeah,
what I was
thinking. She said, well, you know, it's really nice, yeah. but what are you going to do now? I said, nothing, I'm just making it. And she said, well, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah.
And it's not like I jumped on it that day. I didn't run home and look for a lawyer. And I just kept at it for a while, and then it got more involved, and I wanted to make more. And again, it wasn't a business. It was just, I'm a real nerd when it comes to doing things above board and right and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So I just thought, oh, maybe I should just find out what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the responsible thing to do. Yeah. And well, I look where you are now.
Person.
Yeah, I think that was a logical thing.
I'm very nerdy
thing.
In that way. Yeah.
Now, what was the response when from your friends, from the industry, from consumers? I'm very curious also about the industry when it was like, Linda Rodin is launching an oil, just one oil. I mean, that was so unusual. Now people are launching like cool niche products. Certainly, you know, we've seen tons of oils, but it was very unusual to, you know,
right.
hear that you were launching.
But I wasn't
this.
Planning on being in the beauty business, so that it wasn't
it
unusual
so
to me at all. It was just, oh, you know, I made this great tea, so I'm going to give it to friends. I'm not going into the beverage business.
Yeah.
I'm just making something that everybody's going to enjoy, and I'm making this one kind of jasmine tea.
I feel like it's so different from young entrepreneurs now who are like, they're always thinking like 85 steps ahead. Like,
how can I scale it?
I literally just say, how do I scale?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, you're just I've like, never, ever, ever planned anything.
There's something
in
to
my
be
life.
Said for like yeah. the kismet of just, well, I liked it, yeah. and look what happened. Because yeah. speaking
no, I,
of I, what happened, like.
Yeah. I've never planned anything in my life. I wasn't. Didn't go to college for this or college for that
yeah.
or plan this or I'll get married and have three kids or I'm going to move here, I'm going to move there, I want five cars, I want a country house. Never planned one
so
thing.
Since we have so many, you know, younger people listening to this uh-huh. podcast, would you recommend that as a good life philosophy? Because it seems to have worked out for you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't recommend anything to anybody. I think everybody has to really, you know, and I'm not follow your bliss or any of that stuff.
Please,
no
more
new
that.
Agey thing. But I just, for me, one step informs the next.
Yeah.
So I didn't plan the 10 steps. I took one. Oh, I took the second one. You know, I've never been a planner. I've never been premeditated in anything in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't plan then for Estee Lauder Companies to purchase your company? That's kind of a reason.
Along.
Yeah,
no, I
so
was very happy.
When you had, we've had a lot of people on the podcast who ended up working with a larger parent company, and mm-hmm. they've told us how it's changed. What changed for you at that point when you sold? Did you sell the company?
Well,
and how do you?
It was a very long negotiation, and I think the only thing to really say about things like this is that they're always complicated.
Yeah,
and. You know, it's all an experience.
And what have they brought? Like, what have you been able to do now? Like, how's it changed?
Well, I'm just doing my thing and, you know, being creative and, you know, moving along. And it's just a new experience, I think, for any entrepreneur mm-hmm. who goes to another step. It's a learning curve, and I think we all have to get adjusted and all that stuff. So just doing what I do.
So you're not going to all of a sudden have like blush and eyeshadow and face powder and a million other things?
I hope not.
Because you did. I mean, you did lips, so.
Yeah, well, I wear lipstick. I mean, it.
That
me,
made a lot
about,
of sense for you.
Yeah.
If I use it, if I need it, why not?
Maybe yeah. I'll do eyewear.
Well.
You wear
yeah,
glasses.
Yeah. I mean, I just think for me, it's all about authenticity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to sell something that I don't really believe in or use or
right.
need. I think that's what makes my brand special. Is that I'm the face of it. No escaping that. And I think that people respond to that authenticity. You know, it's not some name you've never heard of. It's not some face you've never seen. It's yeah. me wearing it, using it, promoting it, and just 20,000,000,000% behind it.
Can I ask you about the lipstick thing? Because I feel like ever since I know you and seen pictures of you, you've always had a lip
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
When did that start? Like, what was your first lipstick? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. When I was in, when we were like 16, 15, we all were frosted. It was a big oh. thing, a frosted lipstick. I wouldn't be caught dead in it now, but it was really fun. But we didn't wear a lot of makeup. I mean, we had Maybelline mascara.
Yeah.
My mother always wore lipstick. I remember when she'd be driving us to school, she'd have on her pajamas and putting her lipstick on in the rearview mirror. You know,
like
she
not
go,
dressed, but still
oh,
lipstick.
No, she shouldn't have to be dressed. She always had lipstick on. So I think I was just, you know, by osmosis,
yeah.
it just became something really. And I have to say, I had my natural phrase where I wore no lipstick. I was very tan, and I kind of just. You know, walked around with my curly, you know, hair and kind of the Joan Baez-y
yeah.
mm-hmm. time. So I had that period. But I remember always going back to lipstick at some point.
And not like a little mauve or nude. Like, you like a bold color, right?
A lot of pigment.
Yeah. I used to wear, you know, I remember I had a very kind of, what was this, like in the early 80s, I had a very kind of 20s, 30s hairdo. My hair was like short and bobbed. Mm-hmm. And I would actually make my lips a little pointy at the top. And I'd wear this blue-red. I was obsessed with this lipstick. I don't even know what it was.
I was going to say, who makes it?
I don't remember.
You did like a Clara Bow kind
of
thing?
Yeah. And I was just, that's all I needed with the hair. You know, I was never big into makeup. I never wore foundation or anything like that.
Do you think
there's
something to be said for, like, having a signature look like that? Like, now you do bold lips, you have white hair and glasses. Like, I feel like people recognize you.
Well, you know, the truth of the whole thing is the look found me. I mean, I can't see anything without glasses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a prescription.
Oh, everything I wear is
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're all bifocals.
Oh, I thought that you were just being like groovy.
Oh, no, it's not for effect. No, I mean, now you can have groovy glasses. But when I started wearing glasses, it wasn't that groovy. I felt like a nerd and, you know. But I can't see a thing. Zero. So, and why not wear nice ones?
Yeah,
why not tint the lenses? And why not just make the best of it? And so that, you know, and then the hair thing is just my hair turned gray at 35. It started going gray.
And
I never
dyed it.
I never dyed my hair ever.
How did you grow it out?
I was one of those lucky ones. It just kind of came in very...
From a fellow gray-haired woman to another. Can I ask you, from the time it started going gray to this beautiful full head of, like, silver hair, how many years am I looking at?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think. You know, it's so funny because when I look in the mirror, I don't even see that I have gray hair. I mean,
It's just you're like, yeah.
It's just I don't even know that it's gray.
But there must have been, like, a transition period.
But it was very subtle. It was slow.
Were you blonde before?
No.
And you had brunette hair like mine?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
All right.
The only thing we did when we were kids is we would henna our hair. So, and the way I noticed my hair was turning white in places is one day I looked in the mirror and my hair looked like pale pink.
Mm.
And I kept peeling out the hairs that were pink. And they were all the ones that had turned gray.
Oh,
so the henna made it pink.
Ahead of trends again, Linda.
Yeah,
had pink hair before,
and now
she had rainbow
got
hair.
Pink hair. I don't know what this is. So I stopped henning my hair, and then it just became silver. But it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah,
you know, it was quite a long process because it started at 35.
Time yet.
So yeah like you are. Sometimes I'll be talking to somebody in the beauty world or someone who just like follows beauty and fashion. They'll be like, oh, I saw Linda, Rodin on the street.
In my pajamas walking the dog.
Well, they don't mention that part, but they'll say, they just, it's like a sighting. It's like, where's Waldo?
But it's so crazy because I've been living in New York for 50 years. I go out, I go to the green market, I go to the dry cleaner, I go to the supermarket. I go, you know, I have a life that's in my neighborhood. You know, I don't like to go uptown. I'm downtown.
No, you've never been spotted uptown.
Yeah,
you're spotted. I'm not going to give away like too close to where you live, downtown. You're spotted downtown. I don't know, like, if people ever taken selfies with you or anything. Like,
happy to do that. I mean, unless I'm really like in really wrinkled pajamas and wearing my goon glasses from home.
But what's funny is, like, the girls who are, like, talking to me about this, like, their other style icons are, like, Selena Gomez or,
I'm right there.
Emily Weiss.
Oh.
Is it kind of funny to you that you're, like, a style beauty icon for basically college girls?
Sure. I mean, at my age, number one. And I don't know.
I don't mean that in, like, a funny way. It feels even kind of funny to ask.
No,
but.
I mean, I find it charming. I'm happy that anybody would stop me and notice me and say hi. I mean, it happens to me all the time, and it's really rewarding. I don't have any problem with having a selfie with anybody. Like I said, unless I really look bad.
Yeah.
No, I
impossible.
Look bad most of the time when people see. I'm wearing my pajamas when I'm out walking the dog at 10 o'clock. I'm not dressed up.
They're probably a lot better than our pajamas.
What people are wearing right now looks like pajamas. Don't get me
that's
started.
That's true, but mine looks really good.
But we'll go talk about real style in a second.
I go very stealthily down towards 8th Avenue. I don't kind of walk in a... I walk in the dark. As dark as I can get.
Do you think, though, that I feel like you're the exception to the rule. Maybe there are a couple of other women, but... Do you think that the beauty and fashion industry, when I think about, you're looked at as like hashtag beauty goals, hashtag style goals.
So
do you
fun.
Think that beauty and you're like shaking your head, you're laughing. But do you think that like when I
no,
think
I'm
about,
flattered, but I find it crazy.
When I think about like how beauty and fashion is making this huge push towards, you know, inclusivity and diversity mm-hmm. in terms of like ethnicity
and
you know, and body shape. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really excited about it, but I wish even someone who's not, you know, 21 years old anymore, I know you can't tell, but like, how do you...
That's true. Well, you can't actually. It's like,
yeah, we're less inclusive yes. about age.
We're so much less inclusive
yes,
about age.
I agree.
Like, I hate the way people talk who are my age. They'll be like, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, but I just do it kind of self-deprecating because like, I might not know like some song or, you know, I don't wear like some outfit that, you know, just looks stupid on me now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my God, I'm so old. And it's like, I'm not old and I don't want to fall into that trap. When I'm not old at all.
At all.
And I'd hate hearing women like my mom, who's your age, mm-hmm. she, first of all, like if she were next to you, she'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe how she's wearing like belt. My mom would never wear like you're wearing amazing bells, you're wearing incredible lipstick. My mom would be like, I can't wear that.
Yeah.
Like the way women talk about age and beauty, I feel like I'm rambling, sorry. It's like crazy.
I agree. It's difficult. I mean, I think... Listen, there are certain things I wouldn't be caught dead in. I'm not going to wear a bikini. I'm not going to wear hot pants. You know, I'm not going to wear a tank top.
Not a tank?
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't show my arms. No. Things, certain things are over. And, you know, it's like a death in the family, but it's fine. You know, I can wear long sleeves and long pants. You know, there's plenty of clothes out there. But I've always had the same silhouette, which I'm very lucky about. I've always been pretty much the same size. And I've always had the same style. God bless you. So I've always been a denim girl. Nothing I'm wearing is something that I'm just trying to be cool now about.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I've had these pants before. This is probably a jacket I've had for 30 years. You know,
wow.
Nothing is, like, I'm not trying to be trendy.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
I have pictures of me wearing the same clothes in the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't try to get on the young bandwagon and try to fake it and look young. I mean... That's something I couldn't do. I guess one of my biggest fears in life is being a fraud, you know, which is why the facelift thing, it is what it is. You know, sometimes I look in the mirror and I want to, you know, jump out the window. But what are you going
to
do?
Do you think the conversation, though, in, like, beauty and fashion has a ways to go? Or do you think that, like, they're quite, and I'm using they just very generally, quite satisfied with, like, no, like, we've did it. Like, we've done it. We have some... You know, more mature
do you
models
feel represented
and
in the
we're
industry.
Good.
Yeah, I think they probably got their quota of, you know, their quota. Bags, you know, maybe maybe they've filled that quota, but maybe the people in that little, you know, corral are going to stay around. And but you know, I think the world is so trendy and so. Kind of ephemeral, and it's all about this and that. I think that's been going on forever, but now it's just become kind of, to me, it's insane. I mean, it's kind of out of control. 18-year-old girls are retouched on magazines.
Yeah.
You don't know how old anybody is, and really, who cares? But they're making the young girls look old.
Yes.
You know, they don't look young. They just have the same retouch face as I might have if they had the same retoucher.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually looked at a picture of myself today that was retouched, and I thought, God, I look great. And then I realized, but who am I? You know, it was like an older face, but a smooth older face with the same hair and glasses, but it was like off. Like,
Did you recognize right away, that's not me, that's retouched? Or you knew because you're in the business?
I know in a heartbeat if they've changed anything. And, you know, sometimes I'll say to a photographer, well, just make sure you get rid of that little thing. And then I think, oh, God, now they're going to get rid of it. And sometimes I look at pictures and I'm just horrified.
Do you have them dial it back a little?
You can really, it's out of your hands most of the time. You know, you really can't do it, which is why I love Instagram, because I can just put pictures up that I like.
You
and I can control it. Yeah.
Mm.
And that's why I love that. And I do put up pictures post pictures that have been retouched, and sometimes I'll say, you know, not really me, or, you know, because like I said, I hate to be fraudulent, but.
Yeah.
It's just a different, it's just the way it is. And it's kind of depressing, I have to say.
Talking about your style too, I noticed as you were gesturing around, are those tattoos on your wrists?
Yes, I have two tattoos. I have one here and that says Nick, and that was my nephew, who actually at the time, which was 2007 or 2008, was in Iraq, and I was just,
You only got that 10 years ago?
less.
So when you were in your 60s when you got your first tattoo?
Yeah, I think I was 60.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
I mean, I'm not a tattoo person.
But there's another one on the other hand. Yeah. What's that?
My sister passed away, so I got that one. Yeah.
And they're turquoise?
Yeah, I mixed the color. I went into these two different tattoo places, and the guy said, I said, no. I want this color blue and blah, blah, blah. He said, you know, that's really complicated. I said, where are the paints? Where are the inks? I'll mix it myself.
The balls on you.
He was a very famous tattoo artist. He's fantastic.
Did he know who you were?
No, this was years ago. No.
And so you made the perfect green blue that you wanted.
Yeah, this is the color I wanted. And this guy actually did a shitty tattoo, but it's the right color. He just wasn't graceful. This one was done in L.A. and this one was done in New York. But I was kind of, I shouldn't have done it that soon. I was still, like, grieving.
Raw, yeah.
Like, okay, just, I'm going to go right now. It was really spur of the moment, which was stupid. But anyway, doesn't matter.
But it's part of the process,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Seems like you're, like, no regrets kind of lady. I don't know. Do you have regrets?
I have a few. Yeah, I have a few.
Oh, my God. Are you going to share?
No.
Any beauty regrets over the years?
Let me think.
Unfortunate beauty stylings?
Oh, I think we've all, well, I actually did do, I tried filler and all that. I mean, it's not a regret because it goes away, but it was just, oh, my God. One day I looked in the mirror and I was kind of morphing into version of myself that I was, and I really felt like the mirror was moving.
Did you do your lips or no?
No, I just did here.
I'm a little afraid about lips.
Oh. She's pointing to her nasolabial flat.
Yeah, I did that.
Marionette.
Like, yeah, marionette. I just didn't look, and nobody knew. It was very subtle. It was very well done. I mean, I but it's not really even a regret, but I realized it wasn't for me. And the good thing about that is it's so not permanent.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a wheel of, you know, you're spinning to keep it up.
But I think that a lot of people like your line. Maybe I'm like, maybe this is stretching, but because you are like a real person, you know, if you did look super, Park Avenue lady, it wouldn't, you know,
hang
together.
Uptown.
But I think some people find that funny. Like, isn't that a job prerequisite if you're in the beauty business to have a perfect face? You know, I think that confuses people too. Like, well, there you are touting some face oil, but you look like shit. I mean, you look so old. But it was never about looking young. I've never made a claim about any of that. So, again, for me, it's just about being authentic and, you know, making...
Well, let's talk about authentic your regimen, because we can't let people leave our podcast without sharing some of their favorite goodies. So obviously you use Oleoluso, but you have a couple oils now. Which one's your favorite?
You know what? I alternate. I have the original Jasmine Neroli. We made a lavender one that's incredible, and we just came out with a geranium orange blossom, which is very zesty and very fresh.
Geranium, I love it.
Very nice for summer.
Really good. But I never see anything seasonal. Like I have three perfumes and people say, well, that's great for the winter and that's really good for the summer. But I'm not a seasonal type. I mean, I wear white jeans in the winter. I never thought about the season except to be warm or cool, but not about how I'd smell or.
What are like two staples that everyone needs in their closet?
Well, for me,
super chic, super chic.
Well, for me, it's a pair of great jeans. Okay. I mean, I must have 30 pairs of jeans. You know, most of them are 501s, Levi's. But
is it for everybody? I mean, like, what if you're like 5'3" and curvy?
You can buy, you know.
I have a friend who's 5'3" and curvy.
Everybody makes jeans now. Everybody makes jeans. You can buy jeans from any
great pair
place
of jeans
in the world. I mean, so jeans for me is a staple. Yeah. And I think also a great pair of black trousers, you know, whatever style they would be that you feel you look good in.
The bottom half is important to Linda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like I start at the bottom and I work the top after.
I've got a great question. Where to spend, where to save? Boom, go.
Where to spend, where to save? Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can save on t-shirts and things like that.
Okay.
Denim jackets at the flea market. They don't have
good.
To be expensive.
Good.
I think, you know, sometimes I'll buy shoes at Zara for $7.99 that are silver ballet flats, or Gap has great ballet flats and they're $29. I wouldn't spend $800 for a pair of ballet slippers.
So I know who we're talking about.
That's not something I would do, because they all look the same in the end. But I think if it's a boot that you're going to wear all the time, it's better to have it comfortable and that could last for a bit. I mean, I'm not really trendy. You know, I will go for a really nice handbag if it's on sale, or But now I'm using a bag, not this one, but I've been using a bag I got in Kyoto. Yeah, it's cloth woven bag that I've been using for like 2 years, and they last for 100. Mm. They're indestructible. And, you know, all these beautiful bags, they weigh 1,000 pounds. They cost $2,000, and there's going to be a new one around the corner before you've even checked out. Mm-hmm. You know, so I find that folly hard to keep up with.
Great advice. Yeah. Wait, I want to go back real quick. You said you have three fragrances. What are they?
One of them is the original, which is jasmine.
Oh, that you make.
So yes. Oh, yeah. I only
ever
wear
since
my
you
own
started
stuff.
Your fragrances.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm very loyal to myself. I don't use any other products except, you know, Colgate toothpaste. Because that's my father's a dentist, so that's I've been using that for 70 years. No, I'm very loyal. I don't need anything else.
So the first one is what?
What's jasmine neroli. It's called Rodin.
It smells like the oil almost.
Yes, exactly. That's
oh,
how
but
I
in
made
fragrance,
it.
I haven't tried that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The second one is called Bis, which means the second one in French, and that's an ode to my mom, and it's very 50s kind of classic scent. And then the third one, which we just came out with, is called Rodin 3, the number 3, because mm-hmm. it's my lucky number, and it's also the
that's
third
cool.
perfume. And wait, I think I have it. It's very, it's light and it's zesty. And for you, you'd probably think it was summery, but, you know, for me, I would wear it winter, summer, spring,
get,
or
let,
fall.
Let Jess know. Get a spritz. What about your hair? So as I'm going all gray, do I have to change anything? What do you
well,
do for your
I
hair?
Well, I think what's really nice for gray hair is a purple shampoo. Mm. You know, not all the time, but I use purple shampoo because it's for blondes.
Which
and
one do you use?
Shimmer Lights.
Oh,
just
classic.
Clairol.
Yeah.
But I only use that like once a month to just
you don't
want
to go Marge Simpson.
Turns
blue
purple?
If you use it every
yeah,
day.
No.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't mind that actually.
Yeah, you could pull it off, I feel
I
like. If anyone
lavender
could.
Hair.
Yeah. And what's on your nails right now then?
Oh, actually, this is, I bought this nail polish in New Zealand.
Mm.
And it's just like a neon orange. Cost $8, you know, some junky stuff. But it's all.
I love how she makes it seem so easy. Like, oh, I've had this for 30 years, and I just picked up this cute bag in Kyoto, and this is my neon
well,
orange
I,
New
know,
Zealand white sailor
about
pants.
My travels,
no, it's not bragging.
You know,
I'm saying I want to
so
bring
many,
you with me to find me these
oh,
things.
I could find anything anywhere.
It's you have the
really
eye,
like
you're like
stylist.
The editor's eye,
I'm
and
like
that's
a truffle pig
for beauty and fashion,
or antiques, or anything.
Oh my God!
I am a truffle pig. I can find anything anywhere.
Love
it. I can go to a remote town and go to a hardware store and find the best honey pot that anybody's ever seen.
What's a honey pot? Oh, to put honey in.
Yeah, with a little. I'm just a magpie, and I'm a homing pigeon for good things.
I love it. Is your apartment stacked to the gills?
Oh.
You have to see photos of her apartment.
You have to
have
see
you seen
it.
That?
I can't even. You can't.
It's going
to
give me
Google
agita.
It. It's amazing.
Well, it gives me agita too. But I also now have become a plant nut. I never had a green thumb. I could never keep fresh flowers alive for more than a day. All of a sudden, they'd be like dead. But now I have, I think, 110 plants.
So are you watering all them? You have a lady that comes to
oh, no, I do.
A lady that comes.
I have
She's
nobody.
She's very successful.
No,
I thought maybe she
I
has
have.
Like a
I do everything myself. That's
or
why
man,
your friends
or
see me
someone.
On the that's why your friends see me on the street.
Walking the dog, going to get watering cans for
Yeah, I do everything myself.
Do you miss them? I picture with a mister.
I missed, but I really it takes about an hour twice
Jesus
a week
Christ.
To take care of them. So
I don't
missing
doubt it.
Is, you know, it's a bit, it's, I've
Linda's
never
a nurturer.
Kept,
Come on.
I've never I've kept seen... a plant alive in my life, and now I have 110. I'll show you a picture.
God bless.
So, well, congratulations.
Yeah, no, it's really crazy, and
She's
I
so
love
funny.
It. It's just, it's become my new, you know, I always say I've got Rodin, Winky, and plants.
And
That's
Winky's the dog.
Well, Winky's my baby.
So sweet. I need to get all three of those things. You've been so much fun.
Yeah.
I feel like
hold
Jess
on.
Is going to be asking you.
Hold on. Hold
oh, wait,
on.
You want to show us the picture?
I just have to show you just the latest because I.
I can't wrap up my podcast and see it afterwards.
No,
sure. Right now.
No,
anyway,
got
this
it.
Is just
no,
one little
see.
View.
Oh wow.
Oh my God, it's like ABC
one angle
carpet and home
of my living room.
Look at you.
It's beautiful, and you are quite the magpie with little shiny things here
oh,
and there.
Oh my God, this is awesome. How serene when you come home.
It's my sanctuary. I've got white floors, kind of pale aqua. It's like
did
going
you paint
to the
your
beach.
Floors.
Mm.
You did it yourself? No.
No, that I'm not a painter.
She had a lady.
She had a lady come.
I had a friend come and paint. Yeah, that I can't do. I'm not good at painting.
Oh my God, this is like one of those.
It's kind of like the color of your tattoos, a little that aqua-y.
Yeah, it's a little paler.
Very soothing.
And it's like because I love the beach and I love seashells and I love anything aquatic. I'm a Pisces, so anything that's
I was wondering
like
your
that.
Sign.
Oh, Pisces.
Linda's a Pisces.
I'm a Pisces.
Creative, doesn't plan. She's just like, well, you know, goes with the flow.
Not, I think maybe I would have done better if I had planned, but I'm not a planner. I don't, I just have never figured that out. You know, I it's something I never.
It's a wonderful quality.
You know, things I should have planned maybe, but I haven't. But
no regrets, no. Linda. No regrets.
No, I don't have any. Well, no. I have a few, but I'm not going to share.
No, that's okay. Fine. Thank you for coming.
They're not anything you'd want to
hear. You don't have to share it now. But thank you for coming on Fat Mascara. This was so much.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse, I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear, or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off.
Jess, what are you raising a wand to?
I didn't plan a big splashy summer vacation, so I'm getting my kicks wherever I can.
Okay. What's giving you kicks?
Sometimes in the summer, I like to run some errands, maybe get my nails done.
Uh-huh.
Get like a little snack and sody. And then like I like to do kind of like secret things around the city.
I don't know where this is going, okay?
Sometimes I'll get like a biscuit or like a cookie.
Are you raising a wand to a biscuit?
No, I'm telling you about my secret rituals.
Okay.
I'll get a biscuit, a cookie, have my headphones on.
Yeah.
And then I'll duck in and get like a cheeky chair massage or a reflexology. I'll literally like go underground.
Is this a euphemism for something else?
No, I'll just go underground, like, into, like, one of those, like, oh. You know, like, oh, a place like that sells reflexology or, like, a
yes,
chair massage.
And it was, like, a kind of shady-looking sign. They're like, for reflexology.
Yeah, like,
inside.
Yeah, you don't know if it's a cover.
Is
I
it?
Don't know if it's a cover half the time. But I've been going, and then I emerge, and I'm in a completely different mood.
So you're raising a wand to a chair massage.
Yeah, but just, like, it's a kind of bigger picture idea here. Like, guys, I'm getting a little philosophical on you. You need to have these secret rituals.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be, like, dirty. It just needs to be, like, I'm going to duck in and take some me time.
Biscuit, headphones, chair massage.
Yeah. They don't need to be guilty pleasures, just, like, simple pleasures.
Right. And you could that's like the 10 minutes, $10 kind of chair massage, too, right? That's what you're talking
some
about.
Some of these places, you can get them down.
No, it's true. If you can't get to the spa for like a big, in fact, I sometimes like the chair massage better. You don't have to take your clothes off.
Yes. Yeah,
they get their elbows up in there.
Yeah. They really, really great.
Raise a wand yeah, really, to a really chair massage.
Yeah. Really get it strong.
And a ritual.
A ritual.
Okay.
Personal. You don't need to tell everyone. No, I told you.
No, that's a good one. I'm raising a wand to a hair mask. So I haven't gotten a haircut in a while and I need to book one. It's just I don't have time. So my ends were looking gnarly and I was like, let me just grab one of these hair masks from the closet.
I didn't know where this was going.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had like a dog chew them off.
No. And to me, honestly, I think all the hair masks, a lot of them are like, it's just like more concentrated version of conditioner, you know?
Yeah.
So I grabbed Saints and Sinners Velvet Divine hair mask. I'm going
to
be
honest. Sounds like you went underground to get this.
I grabbed it because of the name. I'm not going to lie. Saints and Sinners. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, I know that's Kat Von D's perfumes, but this is not her line. This is a new professional hairline called Saints and Sinners. I think it's because, like, if you keep your hair really healthy and also if you have it processed, it works. I'm not sure. I got to look into that. This Velvet Divine hair mask is divine. So my ends, I've been using it from, like, from the neck down because I have long hair. And I feel like the dry, broken ends look less so. And in the frizzy weather, I feel like my ends have been frizzing up a lot less. You know how they always say the more moisturized your hair is, the less frizzy it is? Which seems counterintuitive always to me. This is like super moisturizing. So I'm raising a wand to it and the tub. It's $25 for a hair mask, but this has lasted me 2 months. I've been using it like twice a week.
Wow, that's a long
like
time.
Like a tablespoon or so. Yeah. And if it's really knotty, like if you went to the beach or you were out in the wind, it helps get the knots out. It's a good comb-through kind of hair mask. So raise a wand to that.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.